And truth is, question, the church must be the...
And took the nails for me.
This is Glorious Day, a program that grew from a vision.
A vision to support our brother and sister Christians.
And those who are still seeking Jesus.
By applying God's word to the everyday concerns and challenges that we all face today.
We are two local pastors who love Jesus.
And his people.
And he wants us to strengthen his disciples.
To get stronger, because God's promised revival is on the way.
Welcome to Glorious Day. I'm Pastor David.
And I'm Pastor Barry.
And we are here to bring you what we hope and trust is the Word of God that's going to bless you today and maybe hopefully for the rest of your life, because that's what God loves to do. And we're starting what I would say is kind of a new series. The next three programs are going to be on God's truth, and we're going to look at that and some scripture that's going to underscore that. And so I'm going to start with a reading, a very brief two verses from John 8, the eighth chapter of the Gospel of John, verses 31 and 32. And it goes this way. So Jesus said to the Jews who had believed in him, "If you abide in my word, you are truly my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." I mean, how many times have we heard people quote that?
Absolutely, David. It's used in all situations for people who are excited about truth.
Yes.
Enthusiastic about truth.
Yeah, oh, definitely. However, we have to make sure to underscore that what we hope you're enthusiastic about is God's truth.
Right, not mankind's truth.
No. It's very different. Mm-hmm. And I believe it's important for us to talk about that difference for many of our brothers and sisters, not because y'all, you know, aren't smart, because, you know, being smart is helpful, but in terms of the faith life, it's not that big of a deal.
And sometimes it gets in the way.
So I know many people, Barry. Mm. You know, I did campus ministry in college for when I was in Gainesville, UF, University of Florida. Good school, good Florida school. There's probably some Seminoles out there that don't turn off just because I said that. Actually, I have to say, Florida State's pretty good school too. But at any rate, I had from time to time I'd have grad students come to my office that were just looking for answers. And, oh, they were scientists. I mean, there was astrophysicists, and there was engineers of all stripes, you know, and things like that. Lovely people. But they were hung up on the issue of believing in God, you know, and then all the other stuff. They had a hard time with that because they were scientists. They couldn't prove any of it.
No, there's no scientific method there.
None.
No.
I mean, you know, you can sort of have a method. You have to have a method, I guess, to approach it. But really, the methodology belongs to God. As you're called to pray. You go before the living God, and you come say, "Lord, show me what I need to know," because it's ultimately faith. Mm-hmm. And the gift of faith, when it's given to you, you know, you can't make it up. You know, and there is no cookbook out there where you put in, you know, so much of this, so much of that. Bake it in the oven at 350 for an hour, and you got a pan of faith.
A pan of faith. Ooh, and what kind of icing goes on that, David? You know,
brother, it has to be chocolate. but it is a gift from God, and it's a little music for us.
A little music.
Yeah, Barry's going to turn off his phone. We all forget to do that.
Yes.
But it's a gift from God. We can only grasp the things of God with the gifts of God, and faith is the dominant gift that enables us to believe the things we cannot prove.
Right.
And so with that, to say that when we are operating in the power of the gift of faith, it is there that we come face to face with God's truth. And we have to emphasize this because, Barry, you, as you know, this word relativism is a big word. It's a big thing in our culture today among the unsaved, where there is no absolute truth for them, right?
No, but it's not only that there's no truth, there's no right or wrong, there's no good or bad. It's all those rough edges were more than sanded off, they were obliterated.
I mean, just think for a minute. If you don't have if you don't have a guideline, if you don't have a something that helps you order your life,
then you have chaos.
You have chaos.
And who loves chaos?
Well,
and noise and confusion.
Never did. Yeah. It's horrible. And folks, you know, we point out occasionally the chaos that is around us in our culture. I also have to say, and you heard me say this before, I think, but say it again, that we believe God is working in the spiritual realm, and we'll see it in the natural realm. And he is working as we pray and join him and agree with him in prayer for his will to be done on earth as it is in heaven.
Right.
That we will see a stabilization in our nation, certainly, but also in other places in the world. As God is moving, he's responding to prayer. It's why we pray.
Yes. It's not a one-way street.
It's not a one-way street.
No.
Now, which I want to pique your curiosity if you're listening. We're going to do a series on prayer.
Amen.
Okay, we touch on it. We bounce off of that issue. And we say things. And then I'm sure your ear is glued to the radio saying, what are they going to say next? I want to hear more about prayer. Well, you will. We're going to do this down the road. But truth, God's truth, is powerful. And because it's truly true. You know, my truth, and I work hard, Barry, you know, and I know you.
Yes, you do.
We work hard to make sure that we say things that are true.
Correct. We say things that are true, but we also say them in love. Truth in love.
Well, you're hinting at the next program.
Yes, I am.
Already.
And that being said, I'd like to go back to what you were reading here, David, and in our scripture today. And it's important to digest this. If you abide in my word, you are truly my disciples.
Hmm.
What's he saying there? Well, if you want to know the truth, you need to get into the word, not get into the world.
Amen.
You need to listen to the word of God, not the word of man.
Amen.
And that's what Jesus is saying here. Then you will know the truth. If you abide, that means live in the word and the word living in you.
And
that's where you'll find truth.
That is an aspect of faith.
Mm-hmm.
When we recognize that in inviting Jesus into our life immediately, you know, we abide in him and he abides in us. That living within is very crucial. That's what we keep talking about, intimacy with God. And then, you know, we don't have to struggle and search fruitlessly for truth. We're living with it, and it's living in us.
And you know, by living in the truth too, not only is your life set on God's course that he has planned for you, but I always say, David, people are watching.
Yes.
There's that David character. You know, he's with God now, and you know, he doesn't come out and party with us, and you know, he's cleaned up his act, and I'm not completely comfortable with it, but there's something about David that, if truth be told, I want that kind of peace. I want that feeling of hope in my heart. I don't know where he got it from. I think I'm going to follow him around and see where he went to get that.
Hopefully they hang around long enough for me to tell him I got it from Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, the other thing, especially if you don't know the Lord right now and you're listening in and you're, you know, walking with the Lord is not a dour, sour, dystopian kind of journey. You know, it's a lot of fun. Jesus is it was a lot of fun. One of these days we're going to do a Bible study on the air. We're going to pick scriptures and talk about how much fun Jesus was having when he said those things.
Amen.
Right?
I would enjoy that.
It's absolutely true. You know, because he had a great sense of humor. Because we know he had a full emotional life like we do. But I would want people to know that it's Jesus that makes the difference in my life. It's Jesus who has been transforming me mm-hmm. ever since I invited him to come in to my right. heart. And it's his truth that I want to be, I use the word mediated because it's a great word. It's a movement of something through another medium, if you will. So it mediates right. his truth through me. And it comes out in the things that I can say to people led by the Spirit. It comes out in all kinds of this program. You know, God's doing this. If there's anything you hear that piques your interest, inspires you, whatever, or ramps up your faith, it's the Holy Spirit.
It is the Holy Spirit, because David and I were fairly clever, but we're not that smart.
Not even together. Not even together.
You know, living in the Word and having the Word live in you takes away that chaos, that confusion. Quick story, David. When I was a kid, I had a neighbor across the street. Of course, his name was David.
Must have been a good man.
Yes, and David's home life was not all that great. You know, there was a lot of stuff going on in his house, and he was just, as a kid, he was just kind of in the way. His parents had a lot of addictions and things like that, and so he lived in his front yard, and on occasion he would hang out at my house. And he was a tough kid, rough around the edges. But my house, you had to go by the rules. There right. were boundaries set. And I was amazed that he embraced the boundaries, where my mother might scold him for his language, or she said, you don't just walk away from the meal, you're going to help with the dishes. Yeah. You're going to do this. And I watched him, and we took it for granted that there were certain things you could and could not do. That was just our truth in the house. And
yeah.
he didn't have that. And he was actually smiling while doing the dishes. And what I observed as a kid was he seemed nervous and frightened in his own home.
Mm-hmm.
And having been there a few times myself, it was a scary place. You know, kids need that. And we're children of God. We need that.
Absolutely.
We need some boundaries. And the Lord does that over and over again in our life through his word and through his action. Like herding cats, I imagine. And yet...
I've tried that. It is bad.
It is bad.
Very bad.
But, you know, he does what he can for us to keep us on the path.
Well, you led me, as you were speaking, you led me to a word that goes well with hand in hand with truth, and that's discipline.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we need rules. We need, and kids especially need discipline. It's kind of a sad commentary on our generation that I know not your kids nor mine, but other people. But you can just see, okay, that let them do their own thing and they'll figure it all out.
Yeah, let them discover God when they get older.
Yeah,
I don't want
other helpful things that would help you live on planet Earth, that, you know, disciplines that they mm-hmm. don't get.
Right.
You know, and so we have, it's part of the chaos, I think, is people that have never had a discipline, they don't have any boundaries.
Mm-hmm.
And really a lot of the chaos they're creating is because they're frustrated and they're looking for something, you know. But so when we then talk discipline, is... another word that comes out of discipline, a root word, is disciple.
Mm.
And we talk about disciples because we are modern-day disciples of Christ.
Yes, we are.
And we have him in our hearts, so we have his truth. And that truth of God disciplines us. You know, the neat thing about God's truth and why we make such a statement about it is that it doesn't vary. God is God. He doesn't change, so his truth doesn't change. You know, it's always 100% true. And, you know, we live, though, in a world that we have the prince of the world, who's an Olympic-grade liar here. And he's pretty good at it, to the point where a lot of people are clueless that they're living a part of that lie.
Because his lies are so clever, they sound reasonable.
Absolutely.
A good liar is sounds very reasonable. I don't want to pick on any professions, so I won't car dealerships, but it sounds perfectly good that if you pull into that lot, you're going to get a car for $99 a month.
Yeah,
with
right.
all the toys on it, all the whistles, all the bells, right?
Yeah.
But, you know, there's more to the story.
Always.
And
always.
So when Satan spreads his lies, you know, he's not going to make it sound obvious, ever. And now you mentioned relativism, and in that, those Christians out there that preach that this is wrong and that is wrong, they're grumpy old hateful people.
Yeah.
You know, listen to them. You know, at least in our group, we don't hate anybody, but listen to them, and they're supposed to be the disciples of Christ and full of love. Well, it comes down to this. If you're sharing the gospel, but only part of it, a little piece of the truth, smidgen of the truth, you haven't done anybody any favors. You know, I always go right to the end of the book, and I always go right to the great white throne judgment.
Yeah.
And that being said, if there are people standing in that line that, oh, let's say you're standing there with Jesus and he's pointing at them, did you know that one? Did you know that one? Did you tell them my truth?
Yeah.
I don't want to be that guy. I don't want to be the one that told them what they want to hear.
No. I want to be the guy that God says, you know, if it weren't for the sacrifice of my son,
mm-hmm.
you know, you'd be taking the escalator down.
Oh, not the hell in a handbasket?
Well, I don't even know if I'd get a handbasket. I mean, that's probably how bad I had been. But, you know, this is I'm so glad you brought it up that way, Barry, mm-hmm. because with the gospel of Jesus Christ is, you know, we say it's true because it's true. But what about that truth really captures us? And it captures a profound hunger in the human heart for people that don't know Jesus, and for those that do, we say, well, the living bread, you know, the bread of heaven and the living water, Jesus being both, feeds us through that truth. But that truth attracts people who don't know the Lord, who aren't saved, who are still living that seedy life, you know, mm-hmm. that hasn't been planted in the fertile ground of Jesus, because that truth, which doesn't change, says to us how profoundly God loves us. More than we'll ever know. But what we can know is that love got Jesus on the cross. And that love chose for Jesus to die as a sacrifice for our sins. So when we choose him mm-hmm. and he brings us into himself, the dwelling we talked about, and we share the space, our life with Jesus, and he begins to transform us, that He's taking this imperfect, broken human being into himself, and the Son was meant for that. That's God's plan, that the Son would die for us
mm-hmm.
and be that one who would take us into himself and cover us with his righteousness.
Amen.
And, you know, I the scriptures are also clear, folks, that once he's done that, I'm still a sinner, but I'm saved by grace. And I have to look at my sin differently because I repent. I sin. Yeah, I still sin. I sinned a couple, three times today already, maybe more, you mm-hmm. know. But the point being,
are we keeping score? Because I'm going to get a little scoreboard up here, David.
I quit keeping score, you know, because it was just not enough paper. but the thing, the trust in God is the truth is he loves me so much. He's willing to receive my repentance. Still a repentance from a broken, imperfect human being, but one who is totally embraced by the love of God and totally hidden, that my sins are hidden in Jesus. Now, that's scripture. Mm. Paul writes that. And I believe that. That's God's truth. That does not ever change. It will never change. That, I would say, looking back on my conversion time 40 some years ago, is that was the thing. When I came, I couldn't say I acknowledged it before I accepted Christ, that I was hungry for that. But as soon as Jesus came in my life, started feeding me from his truth, I knew that was the hunger that I had.
Well, David, I was blessed by God when he pulled back the veil, well, several times in my life, but one particular time, I was putting together a church service, worship service at a homeless shelter. And I saw this beautiful picture of homeless people coming out of the woods, literally walking out of the trees, coming to be fed the truth. And these people had really been through it, David. And they went for that wild ride with Satan, and he took them on the ride, and he left them spiritually naked and afraid and starving and thirsty. Yeah. That's what you get when you follow the liar.
Yeah.
You're not fed. It's all counterfeit. But then you see these people. I saw them all marching out of the woods and coming to the table of the Lord and seeking the truth. And it's a shame that sometimes people have to be so broken to be able to accept it. You know, some people simply accept it and move on in that direction, where others have to be broken down, get rid of all the stuff, you know, the stuff.
Yes.
And then they recognize Satan for what he is, a counterfeit, a liar, and someone who wants some company in the lake of fire.
He doesn't want to be
alone.
He knows
he's defeated.
Yes.
He knows he's gone down, but he's making all this noise and pulling as many people as he can.
Yeah.
And, you know, going back to the beginning of what we started talking about here, unless you have an active prayer life, unless you're getting into the Word, you know about God, you know about Jesus, but you don't know him.
Yeah.
You know, and the big difference there is to know who he is with your brain, but not experience who he is with your heart.
It's always the heart. Lead with your heart, your brain will follow.
Amen.
But if you lead with your brain, both your brain and heart are going to get lost. You know, really go right off the edge. And that's true. That I've experienced that in you know, my life before Christ. But so kind of recapping, just to say we're talking about God's truth that is pure truth that he wants us to have. He gives that to us as a gift when we come to Christ. We're drawn to it. You know, a common metaphor is a moth to a flame. But because the light draws us. And this is what we want to point out, because I believe there are people listening right now who are being drawn to Christ. They're tired of the carousel of lies that keep going around in the world. You know, I mean, yeah, you could stop looking at the news. That might not be a bad idea. And listening and reading, and maybe cut it back to, you know, several column inches in the newspaper and just walk away from it.
Right.
You know, because there's some truth, but there's a lot of lies. And then you get the next layer of lying, which is speculation. And that, oh man, people love to do that. And there's nothing going on there. It's a waste of time.
Yep, that time could be spent in prayer. That time could be spent in helping other unfortunate people, doing God's work out there. There is good news.
Yes.
It's not on TV.
No, it's not.
It's in your Bibles.
It's in your Bibles. And if you don't have one, get one.
That's
and,
right.
Okay, I wasn't going to say don't steal one. But
you can't steal a Bible.
Well, no, it's God's gift to you from someone that didn't know it was being given. I've had people say, I don't worry about people stealing my Bible, because why would you steal a Bible? Okay, well, I can't really afford one, but I want to get in there, you know. And so
take it.
Yeah, take it. And there's some that are even be given away free, but It's vital that we know this. And again, as I'd said before, especially the prince of this world, we're living in his world, and we're susceptible to the craftiness of the devil and the lies. He's been telling lies for a long time. So he's really, really good at it, as Barry said.
That's right.
And frankly, you know, it doesn't hurt to check. It's like, you know, in the natural world, someone comes up to you and says, renders to you their opinion about something. I won't pick any hot button issues, but I'll just say they render to you their opinion, and immediately, maybe because you know them a little bit, you believe it. And it's something that, as you believe it, it causes some frustration and anxiety in you.
Sure.
Because you don't want it to be true, but yet this person whom you trust, or they might have even heard it on the news, which very much has to be suspect.
Or they saw it on the internet.
They saw it on the internet, even more suspect.
It must be true, David.
You know, but so if in the natural world, if you don't believe, if you're not sure about that, you ask them, well, what's your resource? Where did you get that? You know, probe And it's good to do that. Say, where did you get that information? Give me some citations because I want to follow it up. Well, half the time or more, they don't have any. It's their opinion.
That's right.
You know, but here again, okay, what about God? You know, well, God will prove himself to you. How will he do that? Well, you know what? If you ask him to prove himself to you, he will.
He will. That's
always.
Right.
Every time. And if you've been reading the Bible and you're trying to figure it out, sometimes God will go and prove himself there in the Word. He'll lead you to Scripture that will open your heart, open your mind. Listen, folks, we don't have a God that gets us all excited about mystery and then doesn't reval anything.
He pulls the rug out from under you saying, ha ha.
Yeah, right, yeah. Like Lucy and the football and
right.
Peanuts,
thank
right?
You. That's right.
What a great metaphor. And but no, he doesn't. He wants you to know what you need to know, to make that decision, to take the seed of your life and plant it in Jesus. When you have that personal relationship with him, and that seed will grow.
And bear fruit.
And that is true.
That's true. That's right, David.
We're almost out of time. And so, Barry, I just have a sense that you have a prayer bubbling up inside of you that I would love for you to share before we close.
Father God, this world is a scary place. This world is chaotic and undisciplined and unruly, and especially for the children of God. We look around sometimes and thank God for the body of Christ. There is our refuge.
Amen.
There is our strength. And yet, continuously, we are barraged with lies, clever lies, pretty lies, if you will. And yet we come to you, we open up your word, we digest your word,
yes,
and we are set free from all the lies of the evil one. All the lies, even of friends and relatives who may not even know that they're being used by the evil one to perpetuate his lies. Father, we come to you today with our hands upheld, palms up to receive your blessings, your
yes,
truth, your love, your protection. We rebuke all the lies of the evil one.
Yes.
And we celebrate in our hearts the beautiful, lovely truth of Jesus Christ, your Son, our Savior. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, brother. Mm-hmm. To all of our listeners, God bless you, and we'll talk to you next week.
God bless. Join us again next Sunday at 5:30 a.m. and 5:30 p.m.
Diving deep with us into God's holy word,
that we might all be encouraged, strengthened, edified,
and receive renewed hope that the Lord is on the move
and his perfect plan is unfolding in our time. Of his